All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. Thank you how you reveal yourself and the very varied and many ways that you have spoken in times past. And Lord, we give you our worship tonight, asking that you would teach us all your voice, that we, your sheep, would know our good shepherd's voice, and we'd know your Holy Spirit. We would hear what your Spirit says. We'd learn to hear you in prayer and honor you tonight and ask that you would take your church, genuine church, and that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, and through these gifts of the Holy Spirit, we would know what you're saying to the church. Ask that the power of God would be upon us, and the love of Jesus would fill up our lives. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's see. 1 Samuel chapter 3 tonight. And as just wrapping up in worship, the Lord brought to remembrance, this is John 10. John 10, 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. 10:16, And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Begin in 1 Samuel 3 tonight with Samuel ministering unto the Lord, and if you read ahead, which again I encourage you to read ahead. If you didn't read ahead, then maybe you know this, you might treat it more like a story rather than having come prepared for. What does the Holy Spirit want to say to us tonight? Or what does the Holy Spirit want to speak to you? We find that this is the first time that Samuel hears God's voice. And I'll just kind of add here, God initiates it. I think it's an important thing for us to understand. Many times, you thought you were the one initiating in this relationship with God. No, he's way ahead of you. In fact, that's the part of him drawing and even to want to hear his voice, for me, is evidence that God is already at work in you to, like, what is God saying? Does God still talk today? As we begin sort of with that thought, before we get to 1 Samuel 3, I want you to find Hebrews 11:1. And, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 1. 11:1's the faith. Right, Hebrews chapter 1:1. And are you convinced? Does God talk? Right, is radio God turned on or is radio God turned off? So, some people live as if God doesn't have anything to say. But others live as if God talks to them all the time. Okay? Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We uncover in a time period in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that this really begins in a continuance of Samuel ministering unto the Lord. And the way that it reads, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Now, Josephus puts Samuel at age 12. The word there for child certainly is no longer a baby, but is in a general category. Some put Samuel here probably 12 to what we'd consider teen years. Certainly is not old enough yet by the terminology to be serving as entering into the ministry under the law, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Now, just to recap where we're at last week, because I think the Holy Spirit wants me to recap, right? Who's that? Is that you? Is that a text? Okay. Is it your wife texting you? Hi, Elijah. All right. Now everybody knows. All right. So where was I? Oh, yeah, the recap before that. That sound got me. You probably hear that all day long, don't you? It gets your attention. Boy, it took me away. This reminds me of a story. Not quite. Okay. The recap. So let us go on to know the Lord, and let us go on to serve the Lord. That's chapter 2. And this is my encouragement to you and all that you undertake and apply out of the scriptures. Let us go on to serve the Lord. We find the child Samuel ministering unto the Lord. He's serving God. And this is my invitation to you, right? Unless you're in open rebellion to God, right? Meaning that how could I be in open rebellion? If God has given you commands, and again, here's a common one. You take a man and a woman who are living together who aren't married, and they are engaging as if they are married in all of the sexual relationship. I'd say that person's in open rebellion to God. You can come to church, right? But you're not going to serve the Lord here, because I don't want to confuse you that you would say that God is accepting of the way that you're living when you're living in open rebellion to God. You can come and listen to God's word, but until you do that, there's no partaking of the ministry here in acceptance. Now, why I say that way is because you say, well, how do I join the church? Or if you think, well, I'm going to do some things for God, this is not the way Samuel is ministering unto the Lord. He's not in rebellion, right? He's not old enough to be in the ministry, and yet this is my encouragement to you, is serve the Lord. Now, don't all of a sudden I'll think, well, I wonder if I'm in open rebellion, right? Okay, I'm not saying like any sin, because we all sin. I mean, even Christians sin, and this is why as you serve the Lord and say, does that disqualify you from doing anything for God? No, but when you start to serve the Lord, and especially, again, even with those that serve in worship ministry, I take a very keen interest to their personal lives. Likewise, mine. Again, this is why I describe it in that context of ministering unto the Lord and the invitation to serve God and to not just attend but be a part of or be a partaker of the ministry, meaning that this is what Samuel's doing. He's serving God. So let us go on to serve the Lord. And why I say this, because this is prevailing for me with the Holy Spirit coming out of last year, where, again, being revived and listening to God and following the Holy Spirit and stirring us up unto maturity, to grow up, to grow and to be mature and become ones who, again, are working with people on their lives. And one guy in particular, just working with him, I said, Christians walk in the light, okay? So we don't live as unbelievers live. That's say Ephesians 4:17, right? We don't live as unbelievers, that they live in the vanity or the emptiness of their minds, having their foolish heart darkened, have no knowledge of God in their lives. We who have the knowledge of God in our lives, we walk in the scriptures and the instructions, and this is part of that maturity and growth and discipleship and learning how to follow Jesus. And so we as believers, again, we walk in the light. We walk in love. So if you just take in Ephesians 5, we walk in love, we walk in light, we walk in truth, we walk in wisdom, we walk circumspectly, we walk in the Spirit. And as I set this forth, I believe there's something in here tonight that if I could hand off to each and every one of you, that you would know for certain that at some point, rather soon, right, as you're serving the Lord, that you would hear God's voice and know what he says to you. Now, I don't take this for granted, even as I'm preparing and thinking on this study. And I know part of Tanya's testimony, I made her go to her first women's retreat. She didn't want to go. And how did I make her go? Every excuse that she had to not go, I removed the excuse. Okay? And therefore, well, why wouldn't she go? Because I'll take care of that. Well, I can do it this way. And just removed all the excuses. And you know, and you can share this and you can ask with her. But it was at that very first women's retreat that she went to. Again, no, this was not after I was pastoring and she had answered the call. This is many, many years ago before we were doing really any ministry, just starting to follow the Lord. And it was at that women's retreat where she heard God's voice for the first time in her life, that she knew God said to her. We find the child Samuel ministering unto the Lord before Eli, and look at the phrase in verse 1. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. The word of the Lord was, again, rare, your version might say, but like costly or valuable because it was so rare. And specifically that phrase, the word of the Lord, and I just did it in English, it's really just two Hebrew words. It's the YHWH, you know, the name of God, Lord, with the Hebrew root word dabar, or word. So it's really just two Hebrew words. But in English, that phrase, word of the Lord, occurs some 258 times in the King James Version of the Bible. In that order, the word of the Lord. And it's used primarily, and here's the context here, in the context of a word from the Lord from one of the prophets, that this is the word of the Lord that he has spoken and given in prophecy to be said to the people of God. The word of the Lord was precious, valuable, rare in those days, and there was no open vision or no open revelation. That's the time period, if you will, or more so, it's the condition of the people of God coming out of the book of Judges. And having studied that and some of the worst, I think, sinful recording of what was going on for the people of God. And when we get to Samuel, the attention turns away from the people who are not coming up to the house of God to those that are coming up in Shiloh to the house of God. And you have Hannah, and then you meet Eli, and we met Eli's sons, and you have the condition of ministry. And I think this is important. And for me, it's important in this way, that what can I learn out of this for the days in which I'm living that I could hear God's voice and I could know what the Spirit of God is saying. Came to pass at the time when Eli laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. So I think a reference there of his age, eyes no longer performing as it starts to get dark. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. So again, that's nearing, because those lamps don't go out. It's not wax, it's oil. And so then they would be kept burning all night long, and then towards the end of the night, they would then go out, they'd clean them all, fill them up with oil again, and light them again. So this is somewhere in the late, again, we'd say early morning or far into the night, and where the Ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." Now, worthy to count this here, Samuel hears an audible voice. Now, don't think that this is the only way that God can talk to you. In fact, hearing God's audible voice, you can study this out through Scripture, it's rare that someone could say, "I heard God speak to me with an audible voice." But this one is, because Samuel's sleeping, and in the way that God wakes him up, he calls Samuel. And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I. For thou called me," and he said, I didn't call you. "Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called you not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, as two things. I wanted to hear God. I wanted to see God. Now, maybe you aren't that way like I am, but I remember, I don't know if you've ever done this where if you close your eyes and you keep them closed a long time, or maybe you rub them and then you kind of open them and you'll kind of have the effect of the flashy sort of, you know, things on your eyes. And so there was one night where I'm just praying, laying in bed late at night. I'm the only one awake. Tanya's sleeping. I'm doing that. I just keep asking God, I want to see you. I want to see you. So I was doing this with my eyes and I didn't see the Lord. But I read in the scriptures how there were, you would read and they would see the Lord, or they'd see these things, and I wanted to see God, and but likewise, I wanted to hear God. And I think that pursuit, as I talk, even sharing Tanya's testimony of going to that retreat, and she can still now recount today the context and what it was that the Lord said to her, and where she knew God's voice. Now, if you have heard God's voice in your life and God has initiated that you could hear him, and know this, that God is not trying to confuse his voice. And so when you learn to hear his voice, he is going to continue to speak to you in the same voice. So he's not going to try to confuse you. Now, Satan will try to confuse you and your own thoughts and ideas of what you're hearing as God's voice. You'll try to confuse yourself, like I did, trying to see God and couldn't see him. Still haven't seen him. Waiting to see him, right? But hearing God's voice. And I remember just listening to other Christians talk, like, I heard the Lord said, and being at that place where I yet did not have anything that I knew that God had said to me. Now, you come to verse 7, where Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Just cross-reference that verse 7 with verse 21, and you'll understand that what's being described is after this chapter, it's going to become known that not only does Samuel know the Lord, he hears God, and then the things that God speaks to Samuel is going to be appointed a prophet to speak forth God's word to his people Israel. Now, in longing to hear the voice of the Lord, and I'll give you some of the failings. This one here happens to do with, I'll just chalk it up to this, seeking out answers from others who, rather than just seeking God to hear his voice. And one guy in church one time picked up this, you know, video set. I think it was on VCR tape, so you know how long ago it is. And he had just been talking to another Christian and gave him this and listened to it. And the particular teacher was describing, really, he was using all of the spiritism and in the false spirits in the Bible to come up with a way to, if Satan's trying to keep you from this and he's working so hard and all this stuff, that's got to be where God's voice is. And I'm like, I listened to that. I said, can I have those tapes? I just threw them away. I said to him, they're garbage, right? Now, I don't know why I'm saying that's for someone here. But to know God's voice, and here's my encouragement, attach it together in verse 7, the word of the Lord. The Bible is God's word. Learn to hear God's voice as you read the Bible and pray. Learn to hear that God would speak to you. And here's how my pastor proved it for his children. He says, you know that time when you wrecked the fish tank, right? And right before you did that wreck the fish tank, did you hear a voice to say not to do that? That's God's voice. And I think he recounts it as both of his boys were involved and they like their eyes lit up. I'm like, I get it. That's God's voice to not do something. And then the middle child, his second son who will remain nameless, Luke, says, I hear God a lot. See, and I'm just going to lay this out. And again, this is not scientific. But God still speaks, and by his Holy Spirit and in the Word of God, and you can hear God's voice in prayer. And through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can hear what the Spirit says. Again, so if it's not audible, then we describe it like, it's not like, you can call it like an inner voice, but that's kind of risky to use that terminology. Or you can say, God, I hear God in my spirit, or I hear God in my heart. I hear God inside, because God is inside me. So we shouldn't find it strange to be able to discern God's voice. Now, anything you hear really only has three sources anyway. It either has the source that it is God speaking to you, or it is yourself, okay, or it's Satan speaking. And why I describe it in this way, because of verse 7, is now I, in answering the call to serve God, it is very important. My hearing is very important for what I do. Right? Likewise, I'm going to describe to you in your relationship with God as you, sort of the title tonight is serving, hearing, doing, speaking, obeying, growing. Okay, I know, Aiden, I don't know if you're going to get that written down, serving, hearing, doing, speaking, obeying, growing. Or if you want, show, serving, hearing, obeying, working. If you want an acronym, Gabby, there you go. And under the working is the doing, growing, speaking, right? But I lay this forth. And if I can instill this to you, to the point now where I have to be able to say that when the Holy Spirit says, right, that if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me, I want to be able to say that to you, where I might be discipling and taking someone through the scriptures, instructions, here's God's word, here's how you follow Jesus. Become doers of the word. So be swift, slow to speak, slow to get angry, quick to listen, right? And if anyone hears the word of God and then doesn't put it into practice, that would be like a foolish man who looks at his image in a mirror and forgets what he looks like. Again, you think of James chapter 1 of becoming hearers and doers of God's word and following God and hearing Jesus' voice, doing his word. His commands in Scripture is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. My little children, love one another. I hear the Holy Spirit, right? If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay, I hear the Holy Spirit. Now, why describe that difference then to be able to say that when I'm instructing someone in the Word, because the Word of God has instructions, correction, reproof, teaching, training in righteousness, and that can equip you and make you thoroughly furnished for the work of ministry, if you will, every good work. And in describing the growing and equipping and taking the Word and putting it into practice, even as I can take Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, I can assign it to you not to walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. I can instruct you on putting off the old man, putting on the new. Again, the Holy Spirit's involvement with, well, what's the old man? Anything of your old nature? You have the works of the flesh, which are evident. You have, again, that anger's a sin. You can hear the Holy Spirit alive and well in the Word of God. You know, and even if I just talk about these things in that fashion of putting off the old, putting on the new, I think of speaking the truth to one another, you know, being kindly affectioned to one another in brotherly love. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cleave to what is good. Just going right through the scriptures. But when the Holy Spirit uses a scripture in a particular context or has a specific phrase by gifts of the Holy Spirit, when we've studied out in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we say word of wisdom or word of knowledge or word of prophecy, is that the one who has that gift has heard from the Holy Spirit and has a word to speak to another. And so what I do when I'm discipling or if I have a specific word from the Lord, I just say, this is not just me, this is something I've received from the Holy Spirit that I believe God wants me to say to you. Or when I send you out verses for 2025 that are to help you, and these verses have been prayed for and received by gifts of the Holy Spirit, meaning that the Holy Spirit has these verses that are to be yours to help you in serving, hearing, doing, speaking, obeying, growing the things that God has for you. Now, the basis of this is relationship. And here it begins in verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Oh, he's going to know the Lord. Okay, so you think of what type of audible voice. Well, Elijah runs out into the wilderness. Okay, he had been serving God. He prayed for 3.5 years it would not rain. God's hearing his prayers. He prays on that day knowing that God's going to call fire down from heaven to consume that sacrifice. But then Jezebel threatens his life and he runs out into the wilderness, and on his way out there he sleeps, and then he's awakened by the angel to eat twice, and then he goes on the strength of that food for 40 days, ends up in the same cave probably that Moses was in, again, out in the wilderness, and then a fire and a wind and all this like noise, and yet God's voice wasn't in him. Then he goes out to the mouth of the cave and he hears this still small voice. In many ways, that's a great way to describe spiritual hearing and being able to hear God. That still small voice, knowing that the Lord has said this. Now, I could talk for hours on all kinds of examples, but I think that might exasperate you. It'd be like watching my home videos, like, look, on our family vacation, and then here's my son at 3, and here's my daughters. But those things that the Holy Spirit speaks to the church, and now I'm describing that place of the calling upon my life to hear God and to speak forth those things that are to be said. Likewise, each and every one of you, again, if this is reaching you and you're like, let us go on to know the Lord. Samuel does not yet know the Lord. He's going to know the Lord because the Lord is going to reveal himself to Samuel through the word. So you don't know what you're doing yet for the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know yet what he's called me to do. Hearing his voice becomes very valuable, that his voice could lead and guide me in the way that I should go. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Okay, so the idea of that being in the scriptures, or the word is a lamp unto my feet, that the Holy Spirit rules in the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, Colossians chapter 3, that the peace of God, his voice can be by the peace of God to step right or left, yes or no, with every decision. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The more that you put this in by the Holy Spirit, the more that, again, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll have a psalm, a word to speak to another. Now, before, again, I would exasperate with any examples, I just want to be so convinced to you that just as Samuel knew that he heard God's voice, you can be that certain as well by the Holy Spirit who is in you. You should not be surprised to hear God's Spirit because he's in you. And it's all about relationship. Here begins the relationship, the communication. The Lord calls Samuel. Again, verse 8 says, the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. So for him, he's hearing this voice, and he's getting up, and he's a servant to Eli. Right there at the end of verse 8, he says, Eli said, I didn't call you. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, it shall be if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Now, what I really want to lay out for you is this. Serving God. Right? Serve the Lord. I give that little lead in just to simply say unto you about, you know, the whole open rebellion to God, and then just, I want you to come to the Lord, but anybody who comes to him to serve him and be a partaker of the ministry, to me, this is holy, if you will, because he's holy. And not in a heavy sort of way, like you can't do anything, but just simply acknowledging this is what we do here is, and partake of anything that we do in church is serving the Lord. And not to have that rebellion, because I don't want anyone to be confused between God's grace and patience as you bring your life to obedience and get the things right between you and God. And to be confused, because once you start serving God, then it's the acceptance that, hey, he's pleased with me now that I'm serving him, and then those things never get addressed. But in serving the Lord, this is where it leads for me. I should have a relationship with God as I serve him, that I would hear him. Now, not profound, or maybe profound, initially to think that I should hear God. And as Samuel is serving, and he hears the Lord came, he goes back and lies down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called at the other time. So I always get a kick out of verse 10. He probably walked by the Lord three times. Right? So not only has the Lord stood, but what's going to happen with his hearing? He's going to get to what? I believe he's going to have a vision, and he's going to see and hear God. Then Samuel answers, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Now, interestingly enough, when the Lord talks to me, he doesn't call me by a nickname, and he doesn't call me anything else, but he does speak forth my name. And so again, to learn and discern and have his voice, should not be surprised. Spirit-filled church, okay? Gifts of the Holy Spirit abound here. You should not be surprised if anyone in church calls you up and says, "I have a word from the Lord for you." And then to find out that the Holy Spirit reveals exactly what you're walking through. And you have a question that you're contemplating a decision, and another from church, one of your brothers and sisters calls you up and says, "Hey, I've been praying for you and just have this verse to share with you." And you're like, "No way. This is exact. I was waiting for an answer." We shouldn't be surprised about that. In this serving the Lord and then the hearing, we should hear our Lord's voice. He's the good shepherd. We're the sheep. He says, "I will go before my sheep. I call after them. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." So let's just test this. Have you heard Jesus say, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me"? And just practice that. So if you're not willing to do that, do you expect you'll hear anything else from the Lord? Now, I didn't say that you would be good at it. Okay, that's two different things, right? It's two different things to be good at obedience, and quite another to, I've heard the Lord's voice, okay, I'm doing that. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So serving, hearing, and I want to get onto this very quickly for you, hearing and doing. This hearing implies with it a doing. So I like the SHOW acronym tonight, if you will, because it's serving, hearing, obeying. And I put hearing and obeying together. If I'm going to hear what God said to me, and what he said to me is don't do that, then what's the best course of action? I hear God's voice a lot, right? So let's just try it on, proverb a day. And you get that wisdom that comes forth from God, and you start sowing those proverbs into your heart, and you have something like Proverb 15:1. A harsh word stirs up a kind, how's it go? A harsh word stirs up anger? Or is it a kind word? Which, how's it go?
Stirs up anger, a soft answer.
Soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh word stirs up anger, a soft word turns away wrath. The other way around, a soft answer turns away anger, a harsh word stirs up wrath.
A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
That's the order? Okay. So do you find yourself speaking harsh words and the people are always angry with you? See, you sow that word in, then what's the Holy Spirit now have right before you? That was harsh. That's God's voice. And you're like, oh, anger's a sin when you have that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do you ever have that you shouldn't have said that? and you can almost see the words go out of your mouth, and you try to grab them back as they go forth. And so this, I want to put this within reach for every one of us, that God's Holy Spirit in you, you should expect that you would hear God's voice as you seek Him, and that He would speak to you. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Now let's do something that would be for an us. I'm doing a lot of talking in the singular. Find your way to Revelation 3, chapter 1. So this is not my home movie. It's a movie with the whole church in it. It's our movie. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you are dead. Now, in May of 2013 at the East Coast Pastors Conference, as Pastor Damian Kyle started teaching out of that section of Scripture, the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly to me, and I heard God's voice, and He said, that's us as church, that we are Sardis. As clear as a bell, if you will, you are Sardis. Now, show, right? Serving, hearing, obeying, working, if you will. Okay? Or if you don't like working, walking. If you don't like the, oh, it's always working, walking with the Lord. Either one. Maybe it's show with walking and working. Showa? Showoa. This acronym thing's tough. How do you do it? I believed him. I believed him. I heard, and he gave me five instructions. Some of them came out of the teaching. I heard the Holy Spirit just as clearly. And that day, Damien's instructions, because of stuff the Holy Spirit was speaking to me in prayer and worship the night before, word for word. I had five things I was to do in obedience when I came back from the pastor's conference in May of 2013. And I started doing those five immediately. I don't think I waited for the plane to land. But I didn't tell the church, I didn't tell any of you publicly for 3 years what we were doing. Oh, I told you all the time while we were teaching, this is what we are to be doing. But I took the serving, hearing, obeying, and I put the commands to work. And it's in 2016 where I introduced to you what I then at that point learned to call Hear What the Spirit Says. And this was in five parts at that point because it had progressed over a few years of additional things the Holy Spirit said to keep us online and the things that I would know the Holy Spirit spoke to us as a church. And as I share that with you, we're no longer Sardis. And also hearing the Holy Spirit. And it's a similar time period in the days of Samuel that God would speak. Guys, we needed the Holy Spirit to speak to us as a church. If we'd continued just going through the activities and works and things that we were doing, it was dead works from God's perspective. Oh, people were coming. We are doing things. Word of God was being taught. We're still seeking the Lord. We're still, you know, trying to seek even an afterglow. But we're not really hearing from God. After that, doing those five things that the Holy Spirit said to do and putting them into practice, and we're not the same. So even tonight, as I could introduce that to you, that out of Sardis, having believed and received that we had a name that we're alive, but we were dead, and now we're no longer dead, unto being genuine church. Which, if you'll hear me on this point, that prophecy came in July of 2013. Romans 12 was shared with us, and I knew it as it was being taught that that was a prophetic chapter of the Bible for us as Calvary Chapel Fargo. I knew the Holy Spirit wanted to use that chapter in a wonderful way. Now, so as we see God calling out to Samuel to speak to him, Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So how do you hear God's voice? When you believe God is speaking to you, respond. If you believe God is speaking to you to do something, again, here's your guidelines. It won't be against the Bible. If you read the news clips that people say that they heard this voice and they went and killed a bunch of people, God will never do that. Right? God will not lead you into sin. He'll not contradict the scriptures. That's not the Holy Spirit. Easy test. But those things that you believe you're hearing God's voice for you to act upon that, do that, and then you can learn, was that God's voice in your life? And it might be as simple as you're praying that God says to call someone up and pray with them. Or it might be for you to go to the grocery store, buy a gallon of milk, and deliver it where God says for you to deliver that. See, what I wanted to do is I wanted to be led by the Holy Spirit so he could lead and guide me and send me. I wanted to be sendable. Okay? That place of hearing the Holy Spirit, because I would hear the stories how others would hear God's Holy Spirit. For example, of Holy Spirit saying to go buy groceries and just, okay, right turn, left turn, okay, stop, go up to that house, knock on the door, and give them the groceries. To find out that the person behind the door was a believer who had no food and was just crying out to God for something to eat. And I wanted to be involved in that where God is at work. And so one time changing my oil with the company car when I was working for CHS in West Fargo and taking it to the oil Valvoline there in West Fargo to have my oil changed. And as I'm again, and so this is my constant. God, I wanted God to talk to me, and I wanted him to give me direction by his Spirit to interact with people in that way. And so I really believe that the Holy Spirit said for me to talk to one of the workers, and again, I could see him, so like the Holy Spirit was saying, talk to him. And true to form, I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to him. You do understand, it's even in here, when Samuel won't necessarily want to say what God said to him. And so then I end up like, okay, and I drive away and I come back. And so then I make it all strange, right? I drive away just kind of like I go out one driveway, back in the other driveway, pull back up and says, hey, I believe I have something to share with you. And this guy was, he was a Christian from when he was growing up, but he wasn't walking with the Lord. And it was the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't get to have anything more than that moment, but something that the Holy Spirit had given me to say to him. And I said it to him, and I prayed with him. And he acknowledged that, you know what, I did used to follow God. And so for me, that was that place of, okay, I want to learn how to do more of that in my life. Now, it doesn't replace the Bible. Never does like following God's voice replace the scriptures. So here's what the Lord says, verse 11 through 14. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'll do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." Now, we already know in this account that God had sent a prophet to speak to Samuel, to Eli, concerning how he wasn't taking care of his sons, either as a dad or employees of the church. If I can say that. And it says in 15 that Samuel lay until the morning and opened the door of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. So the Lord gives him a vision, and he sees the Lord, and he hears the Lord say these things to him. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, for all the things that he said unto thee." Now, we can look at Eli's life, and he can like, well, he didn't do so well with his own family, or he didn't do so well as a priest. But then he does some things really well. And so just the wisdom given by God to, hey, if you heard something from God, no matter what it is, you've got to tell me. And I think this is the part of, if I take tonight, serving, hearing, doing, and then again, without the acronym, then I have this speaking. So if God's going to give us gifts of prophecy, Romans chapter 12, genuine church, if you have the gift of prophecy, prophesy. If you have the word of knowledge, use the word of knowledge. If the Holy Spirit's given something for you to say, this is study. This is my exhortation to you. And by the way, that's one of my spiritual gifts, to exhort. Again, to encourage, exhort. I'm doing that all the time in your lives. It's by the Holy Spirit. And so that what I see Samuel now do, and it's not pleasant. So let's stop being those polite, self-loving Christians. Or let me rephrase that, self-loving Christians who want to appear to be polite. And let's practice speaking the truth in love one to another. Let's practice speaking forth the things of the Holy Spirit, not to harm, not to tear down, but what if it is a word of correction? We'll deliver it very well. Now, I've done that for some of you in the room. I've delivered for you, some of you, very difficult prophecy that's not easy to take. And it's many times like this, a warning. This one, there is no chance for repentance. Now, five of the seven letters, Church of Revelation, you know, church, letters that Jesus wrote, churches of Revelation, five of the seven come with repent. Sardis, repent. See, repentance is a good thing. And so this one is not with repentance. This is judgment. And so what if what the word that you have to share with somebody is God's taken them all the way through, they've refused to listen, haven't responded, not repenting over and over, and the Lord wants you to deliver a prophecy that is very, from our perspective, if you don't get this right, you're going to be done. Now, how do you want to handle that? So this is where I bring us through tonight. Okay? Samuel told him everything. Verse 18. Okay? And just, will you be faithful to the Lord? Will you be faithful to the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to be faithful to, well, I don't know if they'll, what will they think about me? Rather than spending all your time or wasting any time worried about what the other person thinks about you, will you speak forth whatever the Holy Spirit has to say? And then likewise, if someone's coming to you, will you receive them and listen? And again, if you have words of knowledge, I have no intention. We had some morning prayer on Sunday a while back, and we have word of knowledge. And I'm just asking, because I want the word of knowledge to be very sharp. I said, is the Lord saying to you who it is? So it's not my intent to have that spoken out in the open on Sunday morning prayer. My intent with those of the word of knowledge to know who it is, especially if it's a word like, hey, there's a bit of a warning or a correction or some strong steps of obedience in there. If you have the word of knowledge and the Lord's saying who it is, then you can go to them and you can pray with them and you can share the word with them one-on-one, and then you can minister that word of knowledge and let the Holy Spirit work a wonderful repentance. That's a great place to have the word of knowledge when you get the who it is. Now, if you won't listen to that word of knowledge that someone comes to you and then is working with you directly, don't be surprised if God does what the next time. another person gets the same word of knowledge, and then it's now public. Now, Samuel told him everything, hid nothing from him, and he said, it's the Lord, let him do what seems good to him. Well, he's going to anyway. But God would warn, right? God would give. But the other thing he's doing, and this is wonderful, this is why when you're sharing words that the Holy Spirit says and you're learning to hear God's voice and gifts of the Spirit, that when you have a word from the Lord, if it's for anyone else in the room when we're in Afterglow and that's the Lord speaking to you, what have I taught us to say with one another? To interact. If that's for you, you say amen. That's for me. That's the Holy Spirit. That prophecy is for me, and I'm listening. Now, I pulled back up the prophecy that we ended the conference in Omaha with from. We had two words of prophecy, but they were related. And I pulled them back up this last week, and it was, again, since I don't want to despise prophecy, if I don't care about the prophecy that we were basically sent out of Omaha with a word of prophecy, that's very valuable right now. We also had a prophecy on December 13th that's very valuable for us right now. Not to consider the time frame in which we're living as like, oh, the trouble's lifted, we can go back on living our way. Know that we're like in the eye of the storm where the trouble was, the winds were blowing one way and now it's going to come back and blow the other way. That we're to be ready and ready to do what the Lord wants to do, and that we weren't fundamentally free because we're not in control of our circumstances. This is the prophecy that Chick brought in Omaha. But what we are to do is we are not to let those circumstances control our lives, but we're to live our lives in such a way where we're trusting God in those circumstances. And then the next prophecy was that the Lord is here, and we were to draw near, and we were to respond. And I'm not giving you the details, but I'm just giving you the example. And for me, it really is that we are to be genuine church. And again, so not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that Romans 12:11. Samuel told him everything. So again, serving, hearing, doing, speaking, obeying. So serving, hearing, obeying, doing, speaking. And then look at verse 19 with me. And Samuel grew. Growing. See, we were called last year to maturity. Without question, all the men at the men's conference were called to walk in the light, and it was an instant, you're going to grow up. And you're going to walk in the light and no longer have hidden sin. Not in your life, from no hidden sin between you and your wife, for the men who are married, and likewise called to walk in the light with one another. And really to grow up and say, if you want to walk in darkness, and then just go now. You don't have to stay. Not like that. We're not a cult. We don't have to keep everybody. Mm-hmm. Right? It may make sense, right? Because the church is here for the people. I mean, I look at the ministry as it's already been laid on in 1 Samuel 1:1, 2, and 3. The ministry was so corrupt and defiled by Eli's boys, they were there to take from the people. And again, the style of ministry here is those that serve, you're to serve. And that means you're here to give to the people that you're serving with. Now, describing all that, again, just praying that the Holy Spirit reaches each and every one of us in our hearts and our lives in that place of deciding, of hearing God's Holy Spirit through the gifts of the Spirit, through the Word of God, and hearing Him in prayer, knowing that you, as you wait upon Him and He gives an answer, that you could discern in the peace of God a yes from the Holy Spirit. Or you could discern a no. That's not for you. You could discern a yes. You could discern, again, a very important one, stop. Okay? In the peace of God, you're going to make a decision and the Holy Spirit just says, don't do it. Now, and Samuel grew. So I'm going to do it again to you. Serving, hearing, obeying, walking, and working. Shova, wova. Okay? Serving, hearing, obeying, doing, Don't miss this one, speaking. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you're hearing God's voice and it's for another, then be faithful to speak it to them. And if you're a talker and talking all the time and just you're saying words, and if you're one who's always influencing or giving advice to people and you're just droning on, they're not going to listen when the Holy Spirit has something to say through you. Okay? So you can, you know, be slow to speak and then pick those things, and then you can also make a distinction. Say, this is from the Holy Spirit, and I got to say this to you. Okay? Now, if you wonder what's very important for me as a pastor, probably not so important as to how many words that I speak, but probably far more important for the time that I have alone in worship and pray that I might hear God. So that when I do speak, because I say a lot of words in church, okay? And what do you know about that from the scriptures and the multitude of words? So you got to be very careful, right? And so what I'm describing to us tonight, Samuel grew. Can you write that over your life? I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm growing in the understanding of how the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I'm growing in the understanding of what God is calling me to do. Now you'll notice Samuel hears God's voice and God is calling out to him, and he actually gets his calling. He's called a prophet. All in his ability to hear and then to speak that forth. God gave him a prophecy that he had given another man of God, and that which he entrusted with him to deliver it as he wanted to say it. You want to be used of by God? It begins in your relationship of communicating with God. Hearing him, speaking to him. What do we call that? We call that prayer. Okay? So far more important that you could write over your life, verse 19, growing. Serving, hearing, doing, speaking, obeying, growing. So likewise, when I describe the very first retreat that my wife went to hear God's voice, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but I married a prophetess. She hears God's word. I mean, the things that she hears and has and gives, and likewise, this should be all of us. All of us in our lives, having been born of God's Holy Spirit, by reason of use, you can exercise your senses, and you can discern, and you can hear, and then you can know, I know God's voice. I know what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. So much so that even as my pastor and his wife were called to obey the Spirit in a very particular way that everybody around them says, that's not God. I can't believe you're living that way. And it took 10 years to even prove that what he heard 10 years ago was God's Holy Spirit. And a lot of people scoffing, mocking, and that's God's voice. That's not God's voice. Maybe you're in one of those right now. You're just waiting upon the Lord. God said, wait. Or God says to you, I will provide a wife for you, or I will provide a husband for you. And you're just holding to what God said to you. Hang on to it. Okay? If you know what, maybe you're waiting on a promise that God promised you, he's going to, you know, save someone in your life that you're praying for all the time. And you're just holding to it because you know God said it. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. He heard God, and it becomes known that if you want to know something, right, you go to Samuel. That's how we'll find Saul when he's looking for his dad's donkeys. Just got to get to the prophet. He'll know what to do. So none of his words fell to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now, are we as a church established to be a living church? Not just a name, Are we alive? We have the Holy Spirit. You think of those times when you're in the middle of your day and one of your brothers and sisters in church sends a word to you and it reads your circumstance, or it answers your question. And I look at this thing as we have the Holy Spirit. He wants to establish his gifts of prophecy to encourage, to exhort, to edify. Now, I could talk for, again, a lot of time on this and just fellowshipping in this truth. And so I would take verse 21, where the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the word, Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Do you have those scriptures where the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and you can say, I know this is God's will for my life because these verses he has used to show me how to live and what to do. And these scriptures guide me that I know the Holy Spirit wants me to do this, and it's been revealed to me that I should go to this place and I should do answer the call in ministry in this way, and I'm going to go do that. Well, that's how I got here. At some point, you actually have to, in your serving, hearing, doing, speaking, obeying, growing, you actually have to, in that obedience and doing part, you have to, again, the terminology, close the door behind you, no way of escape, or burn the bridges behind you, and take a stand upon what God has said to you, and get this, tell others also. Because that's that speaking part. So that you can say, I believe the Holy Spirit said. So in October, I'm in Africa before, 500 chaplains, and I just take in the stance, Lord, I'll come and say whatever you want me to say to them. And he was very careful with me, like basically pressed me that I would not speak to them in a way that he didn't want to talk to them. But yet he had some things that I needed to say to them. I don't know them. And again, I say them because they're one of us and because they're serving the Lord, and again, they're pastors. I mean, I take that with the fear of the Lord, and I say the things that the Holy Spirit wants me to say. At some point, I have to commit to it all. And this is where, if you want to walk in this serving, hearing, obeying, walking and working the show, or the doing, the speaking, obeying, the growing, in that growth, Samuel's a young man and he's already doing what? Speaking all that God said to him to speak. Even if you're young, what can you do? Take your stand upon, I believe the Holy Spirit said this and I'm going to say it. Even if they won't let you up on the stage to say it. Right? Would it make a difference to you if you're talking to one person, or can you speak a word from the Lord to 10,000 people? See, and this is that place that the Lord would reveal himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, that it should be revealed to us. Are you absolutely convinced we're genuine church? Are you absolutely convinced that Romans 12 is a prophetic chapter for us to lead us and guide us in the way that we are to be with one another in church? Because I am. I was telling people over and over last year, we're in revival. And when I would talk with them, they're like, oh, that's not revival. And then people are revived and these things are happening. And then this morning, like, all year long, revived. And again, I started to give warnings. If the church is in revival and you're not reviving, where are you? What's going on? Why aren't you reviving? Likewise, to think what the Holy Spirit began last January when I remember clear as tingling, a bell ringing in my ears. That's that reference. I had planned a week of fasting and prayer for the church, and I wake up like a shot in the middle of the night, and the Holy Spirit says, I didn't say fasting. Again, and he used the scriptures, and he used the, is that those months that they were fasting, and he's like, did I say to fast in those months? And the Holy Spirit used the scriptures, and I knew his voice, and he says, this isn't a week of prayer and fasting. He said, I never said that. This is to be a week of joy and rejoicing as you pray. So I just added one word, one letter, took it from prayer and fasting to prayer and feasting. So even as I've told you, like, hey, this is coming, and I'm like, okay, we're going to go to two services, and the Holy Spirit's saying to me, not yet. Now, you have a decision to make, right, about, again, and I have a decision to make about all of you. And this is the part where we live in a relationship and communicate and pray together and hearing from God. We want to hear from God, and I want to know that you're hearing from God. And you want to know what? That I'm hearing from God. As we study the scriptures and my encouragement, you know, what is this year about? Right? Because we're still in January. And you're like, so we're not going to repeat. This isn't just last January was great, let's do it again. We're not going to live that way. So what is this about? So last year was about growing up and maturing and continuing and having that growth and maturity. And this year's to take all that you grew in and now serve the Lord. Become a servant. So I'll just kind of do this for you. Again, if you can take this, you know, love being a servant and a servant loves. And by the Holy Spirit, that reached me. And I've been doing this for 25 years. But if I could hand that off to you, and then here's my testimony. My testimony is I love serving God. Hardest thing I've ever done. I've been in more things that I don't know what to do than anything else in my entire life. And then speaking to people the things that need to be said when they don't want to hear what God wants to say. Hardest thing. You know, get used to it. Learn how to confront well. Because if we have this commitment to one another, that means we're going to be committed to getting sin out of our lives. And we're not going to let the world take us over. And so yeah, we're going to have things that pop up in all of our lives because sin's got to be addressed. And so likewise, men, if I'm again working with you, discipling you, and I speak openly on the sin that you're getting out of your personal life and you're timid about walking in the light openly, I'll bring it to the open. You know? You know, do you get those warts cleared up yet? Whatever it might be. I'm not saying warts are sin, but this is what I would hand off to us when you think of genuine church and you think of what that means for each and every one of us to hear the Holy Spirit. I love what we studied in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. It says that most two or three prophesy. And it said, so then everybody can have a chance to speak the things that they're hearing from God because we have more than one time to do it. This isn't like all of us come and just everybody shares their prophecy. I got to say what I want to say. No, to concentrate on what is the Holy Spirit saying to us? And that's how I take those two prophecies that we ended up Omaha. And again, we weren't the only ones there, but I took them to heart and said, okay, that means we are going to go into this next stretch from Omaha forward, maybe till next year Omaha, where we're going to experience difficult circumstances in our life. And that means that some of us, in the circumstances of our life, we're going to be brought under those circumstances. And so I've got to share that prophecy so that we can endure and not let those trials, temptations, again, circumstances take us away from the Lord. So I came back from Omaha speaking publicly and openly to all of you, stay in the flock. You're going to be tempted to go away. Stay in the flock. Don't go. Stay in the flock. And it's the Holy Spirit. My sheep know my voice. Again, I was given Psalm 23 for us as a church, and I just took it to heart. Again, the prophecy that we had that he had led us to green pastures, that's last year, that's growing, that's revival. And then I know he's going to lead us into the valley of the shadow of death. Circumstances, trial, difficulty, maybe sin, again, stuff that's been going on becomes known to you, or circumstances like, I'm going to suffer this year. Again, and why describe it to us in that way? This is how I carry what I do here in my shovua. Right? Serving, hearing, obeying, walking and working, speaking forth those things, not withholding. Now, what's Paul say to the church? As he calls the church of Ephesus, the elders, to Miletus, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. What's God's word say to you in your situation? And that's enough for tonight. So you're not fundamentally free, right? You cannot change your circumstances. You can do one of two things with your circumstances. You can let them rule over you, and you can let them affect you, and you can just try to escape them and run away, and you're going to suffer for it. Or you can submit unto God and be under those circumstances and say, Lord, I know these circumstances. I can't change them, but I can please you, and I can learn how to please you, and I can walk differently. And Lord, what do you want me to do in these circumstances? So don't be surprised that the last 6 months for you, as all kinds of difficulty has popped up that you didn't even know was there. Maybe a new family situation, or economically. Maybe you've sinned again in your stewardship, and now you're like, you're under the circumstance. Okay, whatever it might be. Right? Or maybe you lost favor at work. Or maybe work's dried up. I don't know what those circumstances are going to be. So, amen? Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for speaking, calling Samuel, speaking the word of the Lord. Thank you for calling us Sardis. We believed you. Lord, thank you for calling us that we're no longer Sardis. We ask now that you would raise up a church that serves you, that we would count our lives and offer our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you, that it would be our reasonable service unto you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.